Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy.
Justice. We all have a sense of what justice is. We think we know what it means, and we're pretty sure we can spot if something is just or not just. But I want to take this time to re-examine that, because I am confident that our picture of justice and the way that we talk about justice may be true in some sense for the context that we're living in, but it's not what God is talking about when he talks about justice. Our common understanding and use of justice is not the same as the biblical vision of God's justice. Let me explain. When we think of justice, we often think of fairness. We seem to have an innate sense of what is fair and what is not. For example, if a child in a store sees another child getting a brand new toy or a handful of candy, but their parent won't allow them to get the same, they're probably going to scream, "That's not fair." Where they see someone else getting something that they are not and immediately feel like some great injustice has been done to them. Or how about you go to class one day and the teacher gives you just a mountain of homework and you don't have the time to do it? You're probably thinking, or maybe you're even telling them if you're bold, "That's not fair." You might not even be able to explain why, but something inside of you is telling you that you don't deserve it. Maybe you've got siblings, and it feels like your parents just give the others whatever they want while you're not getting anything. Especially younger siblings, right? I mean, you might have had to wait until you were in high school or junior high to get a phone, but now it seems like your 10-year-old brother has an iPhone 12 in the fourth grade. I'll admit, I was the younger sibling myself, and I definitely benefited from this, but I assure you, my sister let me know it wasn't fair. On the other hand, when we think about justice, we often think about the courtroom. Again, we have a sense of fairness. The punishment fits the crime. If someone has committed a crime, we would obviously assume that their punishment should somehow be an equal weight of that crime. If it's too much or if it's too little, that's not fair. If there's two separate cases, but they're the same crime, and one receives greater punishment than the other, that's not fair. In all of these situations, our concept of justice, our understanding of what's fair and what's not, it's totally based on what we feel we or another deserves, and that's got to be the same as what the next person has. Right? We think it's got to be the same. It's got to be even. If someone else has received something we didn't, then it's not fair. If somebody gets off the hook when we're punished, that's not fair. But what, if anything, does our notion of fairness have to do with justice? Specifically, is our fairness really what God is talking about when he talks about justice? We're going to find out. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that we translate as justice is mishpat. The word literally means judgment or from a judge. It's the act of deciding a case or reaching a verdict. And so far, this seems to line up with what we think of justice and fairness and getting repaid for what you've done. But mishpat, justice, is not always deciding against or choosing a punishment. It's not always giving things in equal measure to different people. Mishpat justice can also be deciding in favor of someone. The decision reached may even give a greater portion to someone than what others have received. Sometimes God's justice, mishpat, doesn't even seem fair. Sometimes the just decision is giving people what they don't deserve. When we see justice talked about in the Bible, it's frequently connected to mercy. That's kind of weird though, isn't it? I mean, these two things, they seem to be opposites, mercy and justice. There's this inherent tension that you have to choose one or the other. You can either show somebody mercy or you can bring them to justice. But how can you do both? We tend to think that justice is somebody getting what they deserve, and it carries a negative connotation. They're getting what they deserve, and that something is usually punishment. Mercy, on the other hand, we might say is somebody getting what they don't deserve. Right? If somebody gets a second chance or they get a warning rather than punishment, we would probably say they were shown mercy. I mean, imagine you're in court. Nothing too crazy, right? You're just challenging a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, something like that. You would think that in this scenario, justice is probably you paying a fine or receiving some kind of punishment. But you wouldn't want the judge to exercise justice, right? You'd want them to show you mercy. You'd want to get off with a warning, and you know that that's mercy and not justice because you didn't get what you deserve. It seems that the judge would have to choose one or the other, mercy or justice, because it would be impossible to choose both. Clearly, we can't be merciful and just at the same time. It must be that in some situations we show mercy, and in others we choose justice. Or maybe this isn't the dilemma we think it is. Right? Maybe, while our understanding of justice is at odds with mercy, God's vision of justice, mishpat, goes hand in hand with it. Maybe there really doesn't have to be a choice between the two, but acting mercifully is just, and acting justly requires showing mercy. Because God consistently pairs these two things together. In Micah 6:8, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And so you might be thinking, well, he says to act justly and to love mercy. So you could love mercy without actually acting mercifully, right? Or maybe we're just supposed to love the idea of mercy, but not actually use it, and only choose to act justly. No. Come on, clearly there's a connection between the two. It might not be a direct correlation, but it seems that if you are going to act justly, then you have to be committed to mercy as well. If you love mercy, perhaps this is what allows you to carry out justice. While those who don't carry out mercy, they can't really do justice. We can't see the exact relationship between these two things from Micah, but we can see that mercy and justice are not to be separated. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. He says this, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Isaiah says that God rises up to show mercy. Why? Because he is a God of justice. Because the Lord is a just God, he will rise up to show mercy. His mercy is a result of his vision of justice, and his willingness to show that mercy is part of what makes him a just God. So while these two concepts may be opposed in how we commonly think about them, God sees them as inseparable. Somehow, some way, God's justice looks like mercy. God's justice, mishpat, is exercised with and through his mercy. So if mercy is getting what you don't deserve, and justice is getting what you do deserve, how can we understand the connection that God makes between the two? Well, I think we've got it all wrong. Our default understanding of justice and God's vision for justice, they must not be the same, or we wouldn't have this total disconnect when it comes to justice and mercy. But I know how we can fix it. There's two basic ways to understand justice, two different kinds of justice, so to speak. The first one, we'll call it revenge justice. And the second one is known as restorative justice. That first one, it sounds a little bit uncomfortable, right? I mean, we wouldn't usually think of revenge as something that is just. In fact, it has a negative weight to it. But as we've been working through this today, revenge sounds a whole lot like what we commonly describe as justice. Essentially, revenge is getting even. It's paying someone back for what has been done to you. And so revenge justice, it's simple to understand. It's payback. It's what goes around, comes around. Like we said about justice earlier, it's people getting what they deserve, or at least what we think they deserve. You did the crime, so you do the time. Newton's third law, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's basic physics. And while we may not want to call it revenge, this is usually what we're talking about when we're talking about justice. This is our sense of fairness. And it even seems sometimes like this is what Scripture is talking about, right? An eye for an eye? We'll get back to that later. What about restorative justice? Restorative justice goes beyond getting even. It's more than simple revenge. The goal of restorative justice is not merely to pay back a wrong that has been done or an injustice committed, but its primary concern is to repair the harm that has been done. You see, because restorative justice, it's not transactional, it's transformational. Let me say that again. Restorative justice, it's not transactional, it's transformational. Here's what I mean. A transaction is basically a payment. Somebody provides a service or a product, and you pay them for it with something of equal value. When we apply this to justice, it looks a lot like that first kind. Right? If somebody hurts you, you in turn feel it's necessary to hurt them in equal measure. Transaction complete. Someone commits a crime, and so they're given a punishment in equal amount. Transaction complete. When I say that restorative justice is transformational, I'm saying that when you approach an issue, you're not looking to complete the transaction and make things even. You're trying to take a bad situation and transform it into a good one. You're looking to transform a broken situation into a healed one. Rather than trying to even things out, which can still leave hurt and angry people, you're looking to find a solution that leads to reconciliation, forgiveness, restored relationship, and that takes more than repayment or revenge. Restorative justice is justice with mercy. Remember, if justice, as it's talked about in Scripture, is the act of deciding a case or reaching a verdict, the goal of that decision is not necessarily to make sure that people get even, but it's to make sure that people are reconciled, to make sure that people's broken relationships are restored, to make sure that as a result, people are made equal. And the decision that leads to these results will always include mercy, probably never include revenge or getting even, and may even include people receiving more than what we think they deserve. Restorative justice is having mercy because it's the truly just thing to do. So this is getting a little abstract. Let me give you an example to try and make sense of it. Think about slavery in the United States. It's such a terrible injustice that we couldn't even exaggerate how awful it was. Black people were bought, sold, and traded legally as property for 100 years by white slave masters. So what is justice look like in this situation? Well, revenge justice would suggest that those who were enslaved should get even, meaning that they would take on the role of the oppressor and enslave their white masters for 100 years in return and treat them with the same cruelty and inhumanity that they were treated with. Now, sure, this would make them even, but is it really what justice looks like? Of course not. It takes one injustice and it trades it for another. It takes a broken and hellish situation and it only makes it more broken. Those who were enslaved did not want to become the very thing that they hated. That's not what justice is. True justice, restorative justice, would be gaining freedom, having all that was taken from you restored, and the damage done repaired, to be put on equal footing with everyone else and to leave no disadvantage. So when we look at these two kinds of justice, revenge and restoration, we know that God's vision for justice is restorative. Justice is restoring God's vision for how all people should treat one another, and it heals relationships, it confesses wrongs, it gives generously. Restorative justice, it's not about getting even, it's about making things right. God's justice is not about giving people what you think they deserve, it's about giving people what they need. 9 times out of 10, when this word mishpat, justice, is used in the Bible, it's referring to restorative justice and not revenge justice. Biblical justice is not concerned with people always getting what we think they deserve. Oftentimes, it's about people receiving what they haven't earned, but what they need. God's vision for justice, as it's portrayed in Scripture, is about people having their needs met, even if that means that some people receive what others do not, which doesn't really seem fair to us. Sometimes justice in Scripture requires that people receive mercy as opposed to punishment, even if it looks like they deserve it. God's decision, his judgment, his justice is not revenge, it's mercy. Look at the Levites. When Joshua takes the people of Israel into the promised land, he assigns sections of the land for each of the 12 tribes to live in. One tribe, however, does not receive a portion of the land as their own, and that's the Levites. And I mean, that hardly seems fair. Right? If every tribe receives their own land, we might think that it's not just that the Levites do not. But the Levites, they weren't farmers. They didn't need the land. They were responsible for taking care of the temple, and a family within that tribe functioned as priests for the temple. Well, they still need food and crops and resources that the other tribes are producing, but they don't have a way to get. And so all the other tribes were then required by God to give a tenth of their produce and animals to the Levites in order to provide for them, to meet their needs. This tax that the Levites receive, it's actually called their mishpat, that same word for justice. It's their right. It's their right within God's vision for a just society. If the other tribes, if they decided to hold on to all the resources and not actually given anything to the Levites, they would be committing a great injustice. In this society, all these tribes, they don't receive even treatment. The Levites weren't given land, but they received things they didn't work for. Things we might think they didn't deserve, but God made sure that everyone's needs were met. The Levites provided for the spiritual needs of the other tribes, and the other tribes provided for the physical needs of the Levites. And so you might be thinking, well, the Levites are providing a service to the other tribes, so really they deserve what they receive in return, and that's just what's fair. It's not merciful, it's just average. It's not transformational, it's transactional. Well, there's another group of people that God talks about far more often that also require their mishpat, their right within a just society. These are typically the disadvantaged, those who are vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, the least of these, as we see them called in the Gospels, those who are left out. True justice, restorative justice, is when these people, the most vulnerable, don't need to fear being taken advantage of or worry about having their needs met. The widow, the orphan, the immigrant, these people are cut off from a family, which in ancient Israel means that they often didn't have a way to provide for themselves or protect themselves. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, we see this. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice, mishpat, for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. God acts justly toward the vulnerable by providing them with what they need, food and clothing, not because they did something to earn it, but simply because they need it. In Deuteronomy 24, the Israelites are told that when they go to harvest from their fields and their olive trees and their vineyards, that they are not to go through again and again and again to make sure that they've harvested every last fruit. Why? Because God believes that justice is the Israelites allowing the widow and the orphan and the immigrant to go through the fields and collect whatever's been left to provide for themselves. And you know, I'd imagine that plenty of the Israelites didn't think this was fair. Right, that they were the ones who worked hard to grow their crops, so they deserve to receive all the fruit of their labor, not these others who hadn't worked for it. But God's vision of justice, mishpat, is not about getting people getting what we think they deserve. It's about giving people what they need. The prophet Isaiah, he once received a vision where he stood before God in the temple. God was seated on his throne, and Isaiah was terrified to be in his presence. He expected that he would be destroyed because of his unworthiness. But something unexpected happened. A heavenly creature called a seraphim took a burning coal from the altar and he brought it over to Isaiah. That's still pretty scary stuff. But when he touched the coal to the lips of Isaiah, he said, "Behold, your guilt has departed and your sins are blotted out." You see, I think Isaiah was afraid because he assumed that God's justice looked like revenge justice. He thought that God's justice was getting what you deserved, and he, as an impure human, did not deserve to be in God's holy presence, so he ought to be destroyed as a result. But God, instead of giving Isaiah what he thought he deserved, gave Isaiah what he needed, mercy. And that's what God's justice is all about. I mean, even the message of justice and judgment that Isaiah was proclaiming to the Israelites, it wasn't about revenge, it was about restoration. God was allowing the Israelites to be taken into exile by Babylon, but not because he just wanted to utterly destroy his people, because he wanted them to repent, to turn back to him, restoring their relationship with God. God putting the Israelites into exile wasn't about getting even with them. If that was the case, he would have left them there. His intention was to purify them. And the reason Israel got themselves into that mess in the first place is because they weren't actually committed to restorative justice themselves. They weren't taking care of the poor and the widow and the orphan and the immigrant like they were supposed to be. So let's go back to Micah. How do we act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? What does it look like for us to be committed to God's vision of justice? Well, first we recognize that the call to do justice and the call to love mercy, they're not in conflict. They are an inseparable pair. And we realize that doing justice doesn't look like revenge, it looks like restoration. Think about what Jesus says in Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I told you we'd come back to it. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Well, that's easier said than done. All right, if someone hits you, your instinct is probably gonna be to hit them back. And hitting the person back may even seem fair to you in that moment. And revenge justice would say that you're right. We wanna get even. We want payback for the hurt that we feel. But if somebody hit me right now and I hit them back, what's actually gonna play out? I mean, seriously. I may feel some kind of satisfaction in the moment, like I got my justice, but nothing's been fixed. If anything, I made the problem worse. The reality is that the person I just hit in return probably isn't gonna see it my way, and they're gonna hit me again, and so the cycle goes on. Revenge justice only perpetuates more violence. Retaliation and getting even only escalates the problem. If someone makes fun of you, or somebody embarrasses you, your instinct, that feeling in your gut, is going to tell you to get even. And you're gonna say something hurtful to them because you think they deserve it, but does it stop there? Of course not. It will only continue, it only gets worse. Revenge justice, getting even, it may seem fair, but it never leads to reconciliation or healing. It only brings more problems. Restorative justice, however. Restorative justice leads to healing. Restorative justice, mishpat, God's justice, leads to reconciling broken relationships and situations. Why? Because true justice is willing to show mercy. Because the goal isn't to get even, the goal is to bring healing. And Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, not because he doesn't want us to get justice, but because he understands what true justice is. Jesus knows that the only just way to respond in that scenario is with mercy. You see, you can't conquer injustice with more injustice. You can't conquer hate with more hate. Justice is not about getting even, it's about getting healed. And you have the choice. You can choose to get even or you can choose to bring healing, but you can't do both. Justice is not about giving people what you think they deserve, it's about giving people what they need, and that's mercy. Thank you guys for listening today. But that's all the time we've got.